Good morning, Wisconsin. Morning, world. It's a new day. And thank you for kicking it off with us right here at 97.5 FM, 1320 AM, WFHR, where we are locally grown radio. 7:07 on the clock. Have your host, James J. Maloff here. I am joined by Melissa Kay. Good morning, Mel.
Good morning.
And we have Beth Habager with us.
Good morning.
Good morning, you too. Thank you so much for being here. We're going to have some fun today, everybody. In this 7 o'clock hour, not only will we have our National Day of Calendar in just a little bit, we have a brand new segment to feature for all of you. You guys get to see here at the first time, the pilot episode. The Kitchen's Open, featuring Melissa and Beth.
Yeah.
This worked out really good that we're going to do it today and we had you guys in.
Yeah,
this makes a lot more sense than doing it like on a day when you guys weren't able supposed to come in and you had to come in early. This is why I'm in, you know, in the position
right.
I'm
mm-hmm.
in, making these kind of
decisions. You scheduled it very well, James.
Very
nicely done.
So what we'll do is we'll get into our National Day of Calendar. We'll play Mel's News. And then when we come back, we'll get into the Kitchen's Open. This is going to be a fun segment. Mm-hmm. We will get more into that a little bit later. But cannot wait to hear what you guys have in store for that, what you guys are cooking up.
I see what you did there.
See, worked all night on that. All night, Beth. 5 in the morning it was up till coming up with that line.
Well done.
We got some great stuff to get into there. 8 o'clock hour, Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club. And 9 o'clock hour, then a Right Stories, Good Stories of the Day. We will see what other trouble we can get ourselves into. We got some odd stories as well to get into that are going to be fun. All that is going to lead you into Playmakers for this Monday, starting at 10:06. Playmakers is brought to you by our good friends at Quality Plus Printing and Comfort Heating Cooling. Got plenty to talk about today. Bring your sports thoughts and feelings to us at 424-2600. Got a lot to get into, from everything from high school to pro sports. A lot of stuff to cover today. All that coming up. Melissa, how was your weekend?
You know, it was good. It was busier than I wanted it to be, but, you know, that's okay. It was still the weekend.
Good to hear. You know, the one thing about being busy, you seem to get things done.
Yeah, got some things done. Moved up some more stuff from my old house to my new house. Got some things put away. And, gosh, what did I do on Sunday? I don't even know. I think I got to take a nap.
That was probably
my favorite part.
Right, yeah.
Yeah.
You know it's a busy weekend when everything's a blur. You know?
Yep.
Yeah. But you also...
Like, what did I do?
Are you feeling more comfortable over there? You're in a new place?
Yeah, I'm getting settled in. Don't have all the pictures on the wall yet. Oh, that's what we did on Sunday. We put together a microwave cabinet.
Ooh.
It was one of those, like, send it to you in a box, and you must put it together.
Melissa, I want to congratulate you guys not only on putting that together, but still being a couple.
Exactly.
Yep. We went at this strategically.
Yeah.
So Aaron was like, he was so dreading it. I'm like, don't worry. I'm in charge. You're just going to do what I say.
Oh, I like that. I work so good in those situations.
Well, and that was his take, too. He's like, you know, I think I can do that. That should be fine.
Mm-hmm. There you go.
He was so worried about, like, how many steps are on the instructions, though. He was, like, digging through the box while I was making breakfast trying to find it. And he didn't, because I'm like, just chill. You know, let's just wait. And when we finally did find the directions, it was all pictures.
Of course.
There were no, like, written directions.
Kind of seems to go that way, doesn't it?
It does now. But actually, you know, we only made a couple small errors when we were putting it together. But it's together. It's holding up the microwave. And we're still a couple.
You can't ask for much more than that.
But you just gave me a great idea for premarital counseling.
See?
Yep.
See?
Make our couples do something like that. And if they can't do it, then maybe they should reconsider.
And a road trip.
There you go.
And I'll throw in going to IKEA in there just for the heck of it.
Okay.
Just to round it out, the three. If they could survive any of those three, let alone multiple ones. I mean, good. You know, teach the rest of us. Really good to hear. Beth, how was your weekend?
It was busy, but good. It was readjusting and preparing. I just came back from a trip and getting ready for another trip at the end of this week. So, you know, having to get home and get laundry done and get that changed and be ready for worship and then to be ready to be gone for the next worship. And so, yeah, it's one of those weekends, but it was good.
Good to hear. Yeah, I would have had no idea until meeting you and Seth how busy your life can be and how much time you were gone and those things and stuff. So it is a lot bigger of a time commitment. Not so much time commitment. It is about a lot bigger of a situation than I think a lot of people realize.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if that's intentional or not, but it certainly has given me more empathy to the position.
We don't have a whole lot of people that we can call on to help with babysitting,
right?
Because we don't have family in the area. Because normally you can just call mom, dad, you know, sister, brother, say, hey, can you watch the kids for a little bit? But we and we're blessed that there are members of our congregation, and we have wonderful neighbors that are willing to help.
Mm-hmm.
But it just becomes more of a challenge trying to get that planned.
Well, I'm glad to hear that you guys pulled it off and you're all mm-hmm. here. And it's good to have you here. We'll talk to Seth a little bit later, of course, when he gets in here, bops in. Good to hear. So, productive weekend on my end, too. I got a lot done. In fact, got myself a new ride.
Ooh.
Yeah. And I didn't just get a ride. Now, the person I got it from, I went to Milwaukee yesterday to get it. And I want to send a big thank you to Laura and Quinn for the help with that. Appreciate both of you so
mm-hmm.
much. Nice. When I got there, he had one of the things actually told me, because we corresponded through email about mm-hmm. this vehicle, and we're going back and forth, and you can't, you know, especially through text, there's just no emotions you can pick up there.
Right.
You can put all the emojis you want and everything, but you don't get a good gist of how a person is.
Mm-hmm.
And he told me he was going to throw in this bike into the mix and everything, and I thought that was really nice, but okay, and I didn't really push the envelope there. I was like, okay, let's see how this goes. I get there. And you guys, I think I met the, and I'm not sure if this is PC or not, but we'll jump in anyway, who cares. The Latin version of me. this guy was awesome. Right now, his wife, I'm pretty sure, Jewish. I think I've seen her at the meetings. An incredible nice. Couple, wonderful people. I have not gotten to spend, I've never really gone to Milwaukee when it wasn't for something,
mm-hmm.
a concert or something like that. It was nice to get to the city. It was nice to be in a city. I'll be completely honest. I did not realize how much I missed that. And this family could not have been cooler, could not Aww. Have been greater people. I even learned some things from him just as far as, like, not even just buying vehicles, but doing this kind of thing.
Really?
Drove Maggie home from Milwaukee. Blue. His name is Blue.
Blue.
drove him home yesterday from Milwaukee, and it was fine. Everything was great.
Great.
I left early from work this morning just so I could drive a little bit long, take the longer way home here. I absolutely love it. Couldn't ask for better. And maybe it's one example, but there are still great people out there.
Absolutely there are.
And we just don't have enough examples of that. More times than not, when somebody, you go to a business, you have a great experience, maybe you tell people about it, hopefully, mm-hmm. but that's about the end of it. Now, you go there, and you have one thing go wrong, and you are on their webpage, you're on Yelp, you're on the literally on the rooftop mm-hmm. with a bullhorn just yelling at people. We don't do that enough. We don't get a chance often enough to say, hey, I met a really great stranger this weekend.
Yeah.
Couldn't
yeah.
have had a better interaction. Both of us got what we needed out of it, mm-hmm. and we're both happier and better for it.
Excellent. Like,
awesome. Just doesn't, I especially for me in my life, that stuff doesn't happen very often.
Well, and especially with a vehicle purchase.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's always, you get nervous about those kinds of big purchases mm-hmm. like that.
Don't want to, you know, necessarily don't know if he wants me spreading his name on the airwaves or anything like that, but I did want to send a thank you to him and his family.
Yes.
They couldn't have been nicer and cooler people.
That's wonderful.
I had no idea how much it was weighing on me not having a vehicle. Even though I'm driving in the city and I haven't driven there in a while, and it's chaotic and crazy, it's mm-hmm. city driving, it's
right.
Milwaukee. It is, I could already feel the weight coming out of my shoulders, like and my shoulders loosening up and everything, mm-hmm. like physically could feel it. It's just, it's one of those reliefs that having that back, you know,
yeah.
you just
yeah.
don't know until you really get it back.
Yeah.
I do want to say one more other thing about this. Big thank you to our, I get to say GM now, not just our engineer, but Chuck Gennaro, because Chuck let me power his Durango yeah. through a couple of weeks there and everything. Would not have been as smooth of a process without that. Do appreciate you, Chuck.
Again, wonderful awesome. People.
But all this that good. We have shared today is great, and it's good, and it's wonderful to hear how your two weekends were and everything. However, all of it pales in comparison to our headline today.
Uh-oh.
Because to my fellow Wisconsin Rapids, you know, community members,
mm-hmm.
we have arrived.
Okay.
We have officially made it as a town. There's a lot of things that you can like about this town. It's an endless list. There's plenty to like about around here. Mm-hmm. But I don't know. Maybe I'm alone. Maybe I didn't realize this. We had one years before, and I just didn't pick it up. But this year, I saw that we have a Spirit Halloween in town.
Yes, we do. We had it last year.
We did. Okay, I thought we might have. Well, then we are definitely, we are bona fide now. I thought we were official. We're bona fide now. Okay.
But it has moved.
It has, yeah.
It was a little bit off of 8th Street last year in the old Shopko building.
Yes.
And now it's right on the main drag.
For those that don't know, there's actually only like one true Spirit Halloween. It's like a hermit crab, though. It just keeps showing up in towns and just keeps moving from where. I saw that this week, and it honestly blew my mind away. Like, I didn't know we'd have one of those. I didn't think we were big enough for one of those. That's great. That actually, in all seriousness, they don't put those in towns. It's a little similar to Subway. As weird as this might sound, you can oftentimes tell how your town is doing. It's not a barometer. It's just an outlier of how your town is doing by how many Subways it has.
Oh, really?
Like, Subway will not let you open a franchise if you don't have a certain amount of commerce and population. And, look, you can talk to the mayors of any city in our neighboring area. One of their biggest concerns is losing people. The fact that you have your Subways opening up these things, I mean, it honestly is actually a bit of a barometer. It is not this tell-all, but it is a little bit of one. Businesses like a Spirit Halloween or something, they don't open up in towns that don't have a good amount of people in them, that don't have a good a healthy
a big
economy.
Enough market, yeah. Right.
Yes. That's the correct way to say that, I think. Good night, Mel. Yeah, so we made it, everybody. Congrats.
Yay!
Congrats to all you Rapids people out there. We will take a quick commercial break. We'll come back into our National Day of Calendar. It is Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning right here on WFHR. Thanks a lot, Jennifer. Welcome back to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Time for us to get into our National Day of Calendar for this September 19th, 2022. And it is National Wiener Schnitzel Day.
Ooh.
Yes, enjoy your Wiener Schnitzel. It is good.
Yes.
Yeah, it's good stuff. Wiener Schnitzel.
I like schnitzel.
Yeah.
It's a nice... You know, it's a pasta dish, isn't it? Kind of.
Yeah, I've had it with that. I've had it in a number of different meals.
Is that the right day?
It's got September 9th. I thought that was weird. Why did it go to the 9th?
I mean, Wiener Schnitzel was good then, too.
Yeah.
We enjoyed it.
Well,
but
if you've still got it sitting aside, I don't know if you should probably throw it away.
Maybe not.
Had it since the 9th, that is. Get into our national week of. It is school breakfast week.
Yes.
It's a great week to try to, you know, get the... Reminding kids about the importance of breakfast, getting a good meal in them before they leave the house for the day.
Well, they've done studies that kids do better in school when they've had a good meal to start the day.
Yeah.
Well, we all know we're less crabby if we eat.
It is true.
I don't know what you're talking about, Melissa. I think that's awfully judgmental,
James,
on your part.
We don't need to talk about your
have this banana.
Right.
We don't have nearly enough time to get into my eating habits. It's also International Week of Happiness at Work.
Ooh.
That's a good one.
Yeah.
If you're not happy at your job, maybe it's time to take a look at things and re-examine your career, your career path. If you are happy at work, it's a good opportunity to appreciate what you got.
Exactly.
Yeah.
I find myself doing that right now.
Yay.
National Moth Week.
Ooh.
Yeah.
That moth blend, if you look at the picture, it blends perfectly with the wood behind it, the tree.
Yeah,
it's gorgeous.
It is kind of cool the way moths have evolved over time and learned to adapt with their with nature, with the surroundings,
to be able to protect themselves, camouflage.
And September 15th through October 15th, just a reminder here, it is Hispanic Heritage Month. We talked about that a little bit last week, but just wanted to put that reminder back out there. It is National Butterscotch Pudding Day.
Ooh.
And I almost went into a Scottish accent. Which feels a little racist, actually. Which feels a little, just because of butterscotch. It feels a little, butterscotch is great. It's like mint to me, where I can't eat a ton of it, but I do like it.
Yeah, it's a nice sweet treat every once in a while.
Mm. It's very sweet.
Mm-hmm.
Are you bigger fans of butterscotch flavored things or the butterscotch like chips? Not chocolate chips, but they're butterscotch chips.
Oh,
I like those better, I think.
I do.
I think I like
those
a regular.
Those are really good.
Yeah. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that before, but now that I'm thinking about it, that's the way I prefer that.
You use those in a cookie rather than the chocolate chip?
Yeah. That's good stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Or you do half and half.
Yeah.
Oh, yes. Wait. Yes. That's what you. Since we do have a cooking segment coming up after our National Day of Calendar and Melissa's news and everything, could you guys like whip those up in the break? Could you? Is that how the cooking works? Do you need to do that?
You kind of need an oven, James.
Yeah, I suppose.
Kind of.
Fine.
I mean, not for the chips.
Technicalities.
Yeah. But James, it may have perhaps come from Scotland. In 1802.
Yeah, there you go. There you, see?
Great tease, Mel.
Coffee like confection.
Great tease. And yes, we have one more day to ask. And Beth was asking me about this during the break.
Are we going to talk like this?
It is talk like a pirate day.
Aye, me mates.
There are a lot of fun accents to make, but there ain't many funner ones than this one I may eat. It also is one of the ones that can get it, it's fun for you to do. There's not many people that like to hear you do it.
get very annoying very quickly.
There's a little person that loves what I do. I'm enjoying that because I don't know how long that's going to last. It's one of those things. It is a fun voice to do.
So the key is to go find a whole bunch of little kids somewhere and start talking like a pirate.
Yes, yeah, and you'll be so cool. You're gonna win points. Those cool points don't transfer to anything, as I found very
especially
much the hard way.
Dress up like Johnny Depp, for that.
Well, yeah. This is the thing I gotta say. Carl, I got back into this when we first started the National Day of Calendar, and this was like one of the early ones I think we did or something. This is cool at all, but if you actually do pirates or the romanticism of that and everything, I kind of implore you to do a little digging
research.
What pirates really were like the actual history. It's a little similar to Vikings, people romantic. And I have no problem with this, mind you. If it gets you to read a little bit more about history, that's great, you know. But we do this with Vikings all the time. You know, we really romanticize what that was and everything. Right. And especially in movies and TV show, you don't ever really see, there were some Norse Vikings, but the majority of them were no one creed.
Right.
And they did not look like a lot of the Viking TV shows you see and stuff. And there is actually no history of a helmet with horns on it.
Yeah.
There's none. None.
But they look so cool, James. Can't we just make it?
Yeah, and I got no problem with a little artistic interpretation. Just be honest about, that you're not being historically accurate.
Mm-hmm.
I also think there is a little personal responsibility in that, too.
Yeah.
If you're sitting there watching a show and, it's, wow, it was really wicked back in the day. Maybe it was, or maybe you need to just do a little homework. Read a little bit about it. But I don't have any issue with the romanticizing of history. Just as long as you were being honest about what you were doing with it. It's a fun one. National Pirate Talk. Talk like a pirate day. real quickly, did want to remind everybody that coming up after Melissa's news here, we are going to have our new a featured segment, kind of a fun-sized edition of this segment. It's called The Kitchen's Open, and it is a creation by Melissa and Beth. We're going to get into that in a little bit, so looking forward to it. Thanks a lot for doing that, guys. Another quick reminder that we have Playmakers coming up today at from 10 to 11. Be sure to join us for that. And if you get a chance to stop by the studios for maybe dropping something off or over the back fence, or you're picking up tickets or something you want, or just saying hi, we have these fantastic Lincoln High School fall sports schedules here. Encourage you to stop by, pick one up, get it in your purse or wallet, wherever, whatever you use to carry things, fanny pack, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
It looks like it's perfectly sized for a panty pack. That works too. We'll take a break. We'll come back and get into some more fun here on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everybody. Mornings on WFHR. Serious comedy to start day. Hope you're having a good day out there. Melissa, Beth, and James here with you. Good morning, you two.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Good morning, all of you out there. Hope you're having a great start to your Monday. Thanks for kicking your week off with us here at WFHR. We are going to have some fun right now. We got plenty of time for this, so I want you two to both take your time. We have been looking forward to doing this for quite a while. We can tell you behind the scenes. I know you two have worked so hard on this.
It's been a bit. Just a little.
But we are about to feature a great new segment. And this is, keep in mind for the audience, the fun size edition. There may be a larger scale edition in the works. But everybody, welcome to The Kitchen's Open. Ladies, this floor is all yours.
All right. Well, we have been working on this segment for some time. It's, you know, life happens and things have gotten busy. And, you know, I mean, we have new owners and all kinds of things have happened. So we're excited to start talking about this.
Yes, we are.
So today's topic, I kind of spearheaded this because Beth has been a little busy.
Just slightly.
This last week. So I thought I would share the story. Most of our listeners know how I've been in the process of moving. Well, during my move, I thought Beluga died. But we're holding out hope.
Okay.
Because Beluga is my sourdough starter.
Yep. So, and who knew you needed to start sourdough?
Right.
Don't you just throw the ingredients together, Melissa? Yeah.
Well, kind of. I mean, in a manner of speaking, yes. This journey started during the pandemic, as you know, some people are familiar that became kind of a craze when everybody was locked down, and you couldn't. There was a shortage of actual yeast. In the stores, people weren't able to buy it. Yeah. So everybody's like, well, let's just start our own. So I started a sourdough starter. I named her Beluga.
Great name.
Well, and the reason for that is because I didn't name it right away.
Right.
Because, you know, some things you want to get to know them first and see how they act. Well, some of you know. James, you know this very well. I have a hard time letting go of some things. And it's really difficult to throw things away sometimes. Well, one of the things that you have to do when you make sourdough is that you have to feed it.
Yep.
But technically, you're supposed to throw part of it away and then feed it. Well, I couldn't quite do that at first. So I didn't throw it away. I just fed it more every day. Well, it just got bigger and bigger and bigger.
Oh.
And pretty soon there, I had this bowl of sourdough starter on my counter. So I named her Beluga.
Yeah.
Makes sense.
Perfect sense.
I have to admit, I have no experience with sourdough because it seems like it's way complicated.
It's not actually as complicated as it seems. There are some components to it that you have to be careful of. You have to use unbleached flour.
And that's important.
That is important because you need your flour to be in its, purest form, I guess you could say. But, and then there are different kinds of flours that you can use. But in feeding the sourdough starter that much, obviously, that's why you discard it. And then just to give a short synopsis of the because I lived in Toma at that time. And once I moved to Wisconsin Rapids and started with you guys, I was baking a whole lot less. So I actually just stored Beluga in my fridge there and didn't feed her as often. And then when I moved, I was concerned because by the time I got her here, she hadn't been fed in a long time and she was actually moldy.
Oh.
So I had to throw her away.
Oh, no.
Yeah. But I had some extra stored in the fridge.
Okay.
There you go.
So a little piece of Beluga.
Yeah. So a little piece of Beluga survived, and I had dehydrated some, which I have on the counter, so I actually had two backups. And I brought my backup that was in the fridge here, and I've been feeding her for the last couple of days. She's on the counter right now, and she's doing okay.
Well, for those that don't do sourdough, to help them understand, a starter, you're creating the yeast out of the flour.
Yep, so it's just flour and water.
And it's equal parts, correct?
Yes.
And it's important to measure it on a measuring scale because you want to make sure that you get the proportions right because you could throw it off very easily.
Well, that's one of the myths that we're going to talk about. So what we're going to delve into now is sourdough starter myths.
Okay.
So that whole story kind of gives it to you in a nutshell of some of what can be complicated about sourdough and some of what can be easy. So I'm going to kind of lump the first three myths together because myth one is it's easy. Myth two is it's hard. And myth three is it's complicated. All of those things, I think, you can discuss in the same concept.
Right. It basically takes time.
Right. Right. Mm-hmm. So myth one, it's easy. Yes. Mm-hmm. It's flour and water. You mix it up and voila. Well, sometimes.
Not always as easy as it appears.
No, no.
No. It takes time, like Beth said. Mm-hmm. You have to feed it, and you have to feed it on a certain schedule to get it going.
It's like James then.
Kind of. A little bit.
I'm seeing a little bit of a similarity there. Yes, yes.
You usually don't have to coerce the starter into being fed.
Okay, good, good.
So in that aspect, it is easy.
Melissa, if somebody was sitting around right now listening to that, got them inspired to try to make some sourdough themselves, is there any tip you would give them right away before getting started?
Make sure that you get unbleached flour. Mm-hmm. That's honestly the biggest one. Mm. I use white flour, but you can also use rye. That's mm-hmm. a very common sourdough starter flour. And then make sure that your equipment is clean.
Yes.
You want to start with a clean, and usually a jar. Start with a clean jar. A clean spoon mm-hmm. to mix these up. And then, you'd use equal parts flour and water. They say in starting it's about 50 grams of each.
Okay.
And then you mix that up. You have it in a jar. You want it to be able to breathe, so you have to cover it with... I use just a jar lid sitting on there with a little bit of a tilt. So you can keep the bugs out, but that the air can get in and out.
Gotcha.
Because your sourdough starter is alive. It has to breathe.
Mm-hmm. It's alive!
It's alive, yes. So then, myth two, it's hard. Well, you need to have a solid temperature. Mm-hmm. Not solid temperature, but you need to keep it around average room temperature.
Right.
For it to be able to grow. If it's too cold, it'll slow down. That's why I keep it in the fridge when I don't want to feed it as often. Mm-hmm. And if it's too hot, it's going to consume the flour quicker. And then it will get hungry before it's time to feed it again.
Right.
Hmm. Is there something about the process that you, when it comes to being patient, because it feels like to me that patience is one of the main ingredients of making sourdough.
Mm-hmm.
Are you able to cheat at all during this, where like you can lick the bowl when you're making cookies or things like that? Is there...
So patience is key, but it's not like you have to sit there and twiddle your thumbs
right.
while you're being patient.
Mm-hmm.
So the process to get a starter going is a little intense, but once it's going, like I said, I stored my starter in the fridge. I fed it like once a month for the last year, and it did survive.
Mm-hmm.
The mm-hmm. fact that I didn't feed it for 2 months is probably why things went south for one of my starters.
Might have led to something there.
And might have. But so it is easy to... and then the actual making bread itself is mm-hmm. A practice of patience.
Okay.
You have to mix it up. You have to wait for it to rise. You have to put it in the pans, and then you wait for it to rise again, and then you bake it. That's traditional bread.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes making sourdough is actually a lot easier than bread because you don't have to knead it.
That's right.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
It's a different technique. Isn't it folding? You have to fold it instead of knead it.
Right. There's different methods, but... Mm-hmm. It is a lot easier than kneading. So if somebody were, let's say, didn't have the upper body strength or didn't have one of those counter mixers that mm-hmm. you can use to make bread with,
mm-hmm.
Sourdough is an easier method. But a couple of myths that we have here. Myth mm-hmm. four, you need fruit. You don't have to. You can do it with just flour and water. Mm-hmm. Some recipes call for like pineapple juice or orange juice. The idea is that it adds microorganisms,
mm.
but it's not really necessary.
Great.
I'm sure you have all heard, well, my grandma has a 100-year-old starter and it makes better bread than your grandma's 50-year-old starter. That is not necessarily true.
No.
I was always astounded by the fact that my grandma kept something on the counter and then would like share it with other people, and it's been around for years and they eat it.
Mm-hmm.
That seems so weird.
Mm-hmm. I know. Mm-hmm.
But the fact that you are constantly refreshing it, constantly feeding it, that prevents bad bacteria from growing and it keeps the good bacteria going.
Right. And the whole point of the starter is to get that yeast. That's what you use to get the bread to rise.
But the age does not necessarily make it
better or worse.
Better, right.
Yeah.
It's just that it needs to be active.
Mm-hmm.
Another myth is that a starter's birthplace determines its flavor. So if you started a starter in, say, Italy, it would taste different than America? Not necessarily true. Mm-mm. It has more to do with the ingredients that you use.
Yeah.
What kind of flour. You can't overfeed sourdough starter. That is incorrect. Because if you dilute it too much, your microorganisms won't be as populated. And so then it won't bubble and rise.
So your fear of killing, you know, by starving it or overfeeding it is a justified fear.
Right. Yep. Myth 8 is you have to feed your starter every week. Well, that works if you are baking every week.
Mm-hmm.
But if you aren't, then you're going to end up with the giant bowl of starter on your counter.
Another beluga.
Yep. Yep. And myth 9 is that you need a scale to work with it. You can, but you don't have to. You can go, once you get used to it and you know the consistency, you can just add the water and the flour until you get to the consistency that you are used to.
All right.
And then the last one, which I didn't know about, is that if you forget to save some starter, it's gone. That's not true. Because if you mix up your dough and you forgot to save some back, you can take a little bit of that dough out of your bowl, throw it in a jar with a little bit of water, and build back up your starter.
Excellent.
Yeah.
So I'm kind of curious, because there are people out there that are gluten intolerant. Is there a way to do sourdough without gluten?
Probably. I would think that it would be more complicated to do at home, just because to make really good gluten-free bread, you have to have a variety of flours. You need most gluten-free bread mixes that you get in the store are going to be like, they're going to contain tapioca flour and almond flour, and they have to have a couple other added things to create that gluten structure, like xanthan gum. There's another one that is frequently used, and I can't think of it right now. So I would think doing a sourdough starter out of those flours could be a little bit more challenging, but I don't actually know.
Before we wrap up the segment here, I did want to ask a quick question, because listen, you guys, and I do, it does seem like patience is a big part of making this bread, and like a lot of breads. But another thing is having patience with yourself, I would imagine, because it doesn't turn out the greatest the first time. And sometimes when you've been making it for years and you just have that one that just didn't rise or didn't turn out right. So being patient with yourself as well. But I do have a question. Do you guys do this? Because our taste buds do it without us asking them to. They just do it intentionally. But I often will try to not compare foods.
Right.
You know, so-and-so made it this way. So-and-so makes it that way. Certainly what you like, what you don't like, that's one thing. But it's important, it seems like, also to take that into consideration. That what you make may be great, may taste good, but just because it doesn't taste exactly like so-and-so's or the store-bought stuff doesn't mean that it's bad.
Right.
Correct.
It's just different. Yeah.
It's part of what we like about homemade.
Right. Give yourself a little grace.
Yes.
It takes practice. My first few sourdough loaves were complete failures. But, you know, just like with anything, the more you do it, the more experience you get, the more information you take in. Check with other people. Look online. There's tons of information online.
Well, and you can always, if you don't want to do the initial starting and that week-long process of getting it going, you know, find somebody who already has one. Ask if you can get a...
sourdough people will be happy to share their starter with you. Like excited. because you discard it every day. So it's not like... Or, I mean, every time you feed it, which should be about once a week. But they will be very, very happy to share some of their discard.
Yeah, so rather than discarding it into the garbage disposal or wherever, mm-hmm. you can discard it into another jar and let somebody else enjoy that.
Yeah.
And that
great way to share.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nicely done, you two. That was a lot of fun. Can we kind of make this a regular thing? Say next Monday, when we get a chance, when you guys want to, we'll do this. You guys just give us a heads up, and we'll do the segment.
Sounds good.
All right.
Cool. Very good. The kitchen is closed for now, but we will be open again real soon. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back and have some more fun on Mornings on WFHR. Welcome back, everyone, to Mornings on WFHR, locally grown radio. Got Beth, Mel, and James here with you. Hope you're having a great day out there, everybody. Next hour, we'll get into Misty's Menu Birthday and Anniversary Club and get some more fun stuff we'll have. Hoping to be joined live and direct by our friends at the Weather Eye Weather Center as mm-hmm. well. So right here, I've got a new poll that found most people don't think cash is the most convenient way to pay for stuff anymore. It's third behind credit cards and debit cards, mm-hmm. but we mm-hmm. still use it. 45% of us have used cash in the past week, and the average person who still carries it around, $70 in their wallet right about now. So that's okay. what we average about it, carrying in our wallets or purses mm-hmm. or any of that. So here are the top things we still use cash for. I thought this was just kind of a fun list.
Okay,
It was kind of interesting. So we'll start at the bottom, clothing. Like if you went back to school shopping and brought a set amount to stay on budget, like that kind of thing.
Yeah.
It used to be you did that with your bank or checking account. Now mm-hmm. it's kind of the opposite.
Mm-hmm.
Gas. A lot of places charge less if you pay cash.
Wow.
There's a gas station by my folks' house that give a nice discount with when you do.
Very nice.
That's the only one I can think of, but I know there are other ones.
Mm-hmm. I've never heard of that.
Yeah.
Had a big boneheaded moment coming out of Milwaukee yesterday where in the city, for those that don't know, I mean, almost every gas station you go to is a pay first.
Right.
And I know this. I'm a city kid. I mm-hmm. know this. I haven't experienced it in a while. So I had that moment where I put the pump in and I hit the button, you know, and I'm waiting. And mm-hmm. I notice that the price doesn't change. Mm-hmm. So you do what a lot of people do in your head. Well, come on, man. Hit the button. What's taking this guy? Come on, hit the button in there. Jeez. Some people are just, oh, wait, no, it's me. Oh, no, wait, no. No, actually, it's my fault. I need to actually pay for that. You know what? You're apologizing to the person that mm-hmm. doesn't even know that you said any of this. It was just all in your head. It was, yeah. So entertainment is another one on the list mm-hmm. that we tend to use cash for.
Yeah. Okay.
Groceries.
Really?
A grocery store will take a $100 bill, where a lot of businesses won't.
This is true.
So if you need to, you know, get rid of some larger bills, and I don't know about you, but groceries are expensive.
They
so
are.
It's not hard to spend $100 at a grocery store.
and you know, when they're talking about, when they're saying groceries, I think a lot of us think of like big over one, you know, go and mm-hmm. get everything you need and all that. When I think of grocery shopping, I often, there's that, but I think of like, oh, I forgot this,
right.
and I got to go and pick it up. Mm-hmm. And it's usually like one or two things. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you just don't want to use your card for that.
Right.
You know? Hmm. Public transportation, like buses, trains, fares, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of them have adapted, and they certainly will accept a card or something,
right.
but especially older people, if you're used to traveling the train or taking the bus or something, mm-hmm. you've got like a change jar by your keys in the morning that you grab out of there to do. You know. Minor emergencies, like keeping cash around at home to cover unexpected expenses.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. personal grooming appointments, like haircuts and
yes.
those things.
Yes, and often you want to have a little bit extra to add a tip.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, I mean, having traveled this last week, that's one of the things that I forgot to do is to have that small amount of cash to be able to hand to the person that's helping me get my bags on and off the bus and that kind of thing.
Hmm. Yeah, that's a good thing to remember.
And number one on the list, smaller purchases like gum and candy mm-hmm. and that kind of thing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, I wonder if we're going to start moving back towards cash in a lot of like the coffee shops and things like that that are pass. And there are other businesses that are doing this too. They're passing on the percentage that they are charged to use your credit card. Yeah. And so, if you use cash, they won't charge you that. So a lot of smaller places, they're still getting the money. In fact, they're getting more money if you pay them with cash than if you are paying them with a card.
Well,
especially for small purchases. I've seen businesses that, you know, you can only use a card if you're spending more than $5 is usually the limit. Because otherwise, they get hit with fees for every time they run a card.
Well, you know, and I mean, to your point, Beth, about, you know, kind of coming back and everything, we know almost everything does kind of come back around. And unlike some things when fashion or music or you know, things that can be considered fads, money's not a fad, you know,
the way that we
especially use money, whether it's cash or card or, you know, transaction online, this is one of those few things that we may try every once in a blue moon. We try to do something different, and it just doesn't work. This the system. Crypto is crashing as we speak. Like, they just had one of the worst weekends that any stock has ever had.
Wow.
Coming out of the weekend. And, I mean, if you Google crypto, the first thing that's going to pop up is crypto cash. Or just crash, I mean. Crypto crash.
Right.
Cash is the last thing you'll get out of this situation. So, and coming up with new ways to spend our money or use our money or invest our money, I don't see that necessarily happening anytime soon. We kind of, there's a lot of things that you can overhaul in time. That's one of those ones. I don't know if you're going to be able to do that.
They missed one on the list, though. Allowance.
Yeah.
For your kids.
Yes.
I suppose. But to James's point of getting rid of cash, I don't think that we will ever get rid of it completely. Do I think that it's going to maybe change a little bit? Possibly. There's been a lot of talk about getting rid of the penny and maybe even getting rid of the nickel.
Yeah.
And if you look at other monetary systems in other countries, they have evolved over time and changed. So, I mean, it could change here too. But I like James said, I don't think it's going to go away.
And I don't... I don't know that it necessarily, you know, when things change in society to make it a better world, that's one thing. I get that. But to change our money, I mean, I don't know. I'd have to look a lot more into the environmental impact and a lot of the different things that why it would be a good thing for us to go to less paper than more paper as far as our commerce goes. And should we have it? Is there a better way to do this? There might be, but I don't know. I especially when you look at the way the whole world is this way.
Right.
You know, it isn't just us. Everybody's got paper money. Everybody's got some kind of coin or something. So when I think of, like, we tend to be the trendsetters of the world. I don't know if we will be on this one. I don't know. I feel like this is one of those ones that's going to be, if it does change the way that we use, or we do get another method, I should say, of payment and purchase, I feel like it's probably going to come somewhere else. I don't know. I almost feel like because of the crypto thing, like, we've lost our we didn't just come up with crypto, but it's one of those things that I don't think you're going to see anything anytime soon. That's for sure. And I don't know how necessary it is. I really am curious. That was the thing about the crypto thing. The first thing they said to sell it to you was, well, the government ain't going to be able to keep an eye on your money. Like, are you kidding?
What
world do you live in? Like, I mean, maybe in 1940, maybe, you know, but I mean, now, if they want to know it, they know. They already know. Like, as you're thinking about ways to counter...
They have branches within the government to just look at computer and online things.
We know for a fact, and I've mentioned it a million times, the satellite that's up there that can tell you the speed of the ball that the pitcher is throwing in Candlestick Park or something like that. They can find your money, man.
Yeah.
This is the stuff they've told us. I mean, you know, I don't know. I'm not saying, who knows? It might be some stuff they haven't. That to me, it just all screams to, hey, what we got to figure out to make work what we have. You know, I'm also find out a way to make sure that it's more evened out a lot more.
Yeah.
As long as we're at it, as long as we're going to talk money.
I think there's always going to be a need to have paper, physical cash in addition to the electronic stuff.
Yeah.
Well, and the uprise of digital mobile wallets is really mm-hmm. increased as well, where people are just using their cell phone to make purchases.
Made the purchase for my new Jeep yesterday in cash. And there's equal parts nerve-wracking having that much cash on
yes.
you.
Yes.
And also kind of like, oh, this is kind of cool. Like, I work in radio. I don't get around money like that very often. So, you know. We'll take a quick commercial break. We'll come back. We'll have some more fun. It is Melissa, Beth, and James taking you through your morning right here on WFHR.